More criticism for the new Labour leader. Jeremy Corbyn's links to Sinn Féin, an article in the political magazine The Spectator, claims the Labour Party is now led by people who wanted the IRA to win. Columnist Alex Massey says this is no exaggeration. He cites Jeremy Corbyn speaking at troops out rallies in the 80s. That was just 2 weeks after the Brighton bombing. Mr. Corbyn invited IRA bombers to the House of Commons. Others say engagement offered by Corbyn during the 80s spurred on those in Sinn Féin who wanted to go down the political route. Alex Massey is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Alex.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've brought Ken Livingstone back, former Labour Mayor of London. Good morning to you, Ken.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. So spell out what you're saying here, Alex.
Well, it seems to be quite clear that in the 1980s, if you supported the United Ireland, which is a perfectly respectable view to hold, you had a choice. You could either support constitutional means towards achieving that goal, i.e. you could ally yourself with the SDLP, which was the mainstream Labour Party position, the SDLP taking the Labour whip in the House of Commons after all, or, alternatively, you could ally yourself with Sinn Féin and the IRA and the wider Republican movement. So you had a choice. You could support a peaceful means of advancing the cause of the United Ireland, support an armed and violent and terrorist means of doing so. Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell, his shadow chancellor, supported that. And I think that is extremely telling, and it's something that shouldn't be forgotten.
Go ahead, Ken.
Well, it's kind of his guy was there at Jeremy Corbyn's meeting with Gerry Adams back in the early 80s. And what we were talking about was how you could bring the armed struggle to an end. And Gerry Adams was quite prepared to accept there should be negotiations between the IRA and the British government. And we were pushing for Mrs. Thatcher to do that. She refused. She always insisted this wasn't a political issue. These were just gangsters and psychopaths. And we had another 1,000 people killed until Tony Blair came to power and swept all the old nonsense away and did the deal.
That's absolute nonsense. In the first place, Margaret Thatcher signed the Anglo-Irish Agreement, which, as you know, Stephen, of course, caused bitter controversy amongst unionists in Northern Ireland and was rejected by Jeremy Corbyn. In the second place, John Major and the Downing Street Declaration that edged Northern Ireland towards a kind of peace. The notion that it was just Tony Blair and so on is nonsense. The thing that persuaded the IRA that it had to switch from an armed struggle to a peaceful means of trying to advance some of its objectives was its essential defeat. Once the IRA realised it couldn't actually bomb its way to a united Ireland, it couldn't bomb Britain out of Northern Ireland, then the alternative was talking. But this notion that Jeremy Corbyn was somehow pursuing a peace process avant la lettre and so on is absolute wow. Nonsense. And so on. The essential conditions for talking were the IRA's military defeat and exhaustion, and secondly, of course, an IRA ceasefire, without which, of course, no sorts of talks were possible. And there was never any sign of that in the 1980s when Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell were palling around with the provos.
Well, I'm sorry. I happened to be there when I first met Gerry Adams in 1982. Virtually the first thing he said was, the IRA know they can never win a military victory over the British Army, and they can't win one over us. We've got to have a negotiated settlement. That's 1982. Let me finish what I'm saying. I was there. You weren't. Adams was ready to negotiate in 82. Thatcher, all right, negotiated with anybody but the IRA, and therefore 1,000 other people were killed by both sides in the conflict, and that's the tragedy of this. Adams was ready to negotiate in 82. Don't lie.
All right, so it was Margaret Thatcher's fault that the IRA tried to assassinate her, and that's what you're essentially claiming there, Ken. It's an extraordinary writing of history, and it's one that
don't put your lying words
into the IRA.
It's not what he said.
I mean, the simple fact is, Adams was ready to negotiate. People like Jeremy Corbyn, John McDonnell, myself had met them. We knew that. We kept pushing the British government to negotiate. We also kept trying to push the Labour leadership to accept that, but Kinnock wouldn't. We just wasted time. And when I met senior army officers, they'd always said, look, they're really angry with Mrs. Thatcher's government because they said there's got to be a negotiated settlement. They're refusing to do it. Those were army commanders. landed in Northern Ireland speaking privately to me.
If the IRA had declared a ceasefire in 1982, there would have been negotiations. There could easily have been negotiations. But the IRA never declared that ceasefire, did it? You know, and it has, you know, 2 years later, as I say, it tried to assassinate the entire British cabinet, tried to assassinate John Major. It subsequently let off bombs in military targets, such as, you know, shopping centres in Warwick and so on. And somehow this is all the British government's fault. You know, this is this sort of far left, soft on the provost tendency, you know, means that uniquely, the IRA are not responsible for their own actions. Somebody else is. You know, it's an infantile sort of politics that also rewrites history in the most grotesque fashion.
You need to look at history. The reason that violence started at the end of the 1960s and in the early 70s was after decades of brutal discrimination against the Catholic minority in Northern Ireland. And it's amazing, actually, the violence didn't start before. And British governments always turned a blind eye to what was going on in Northern Ireland. That's what led to the violence. Years and years of the Catholics being treated like blacks were in the Deep South in America.
Well, that's a slight exaggeration, but nobody denies that Northern Ireland was, as David Trimble put it, a cold house for Catholics and for nationalists, and that any number of what we would rightly consider these days to be appalling things were done. Nevertheless, there was a constitutional path to objecting to this, and there was a terrorist path towards objecting to this. And Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell and other people in the far left of the Labour Party went down the terrorist supporting route. You know, when there was always the option to support the SDLP and advance political goals by exclusively peaceful means, but they didn't do that. They didn't, you know, that wasn't what they were interested in.
But the SDLP wasn't doing the fighting. I mean, you had to talk to the people that were doing the fighting. And let's not just assume all this horror came just from the Republican side. I met army officers who'd gone over the border to carry out assassinations of people like John Francis Green. And then you had the Miami Showband massacre, where a British army officer led some Ulster unionists over to kill the Miami Showband as a way of breaking ceasefire that Harold Wilson's government negotiated. There's a lot of vile acts on both sides.
Well, nobody denies that, again, you know, but there is something remarkable about the Labour Party now being led by people who were so closely allied with the IRA and Sinn Féin and the Republican movement, when there were choices to be made. You know, you could, as I say, ally yourselves with peaceful constitutional nationalists or with violent Republican terrorists. And it's extremely telling that Jeremy Corbyn, John McDonnell and others chose the latter.
We chose to say we want to see an end to that violence. And the SDLP wasn't leading the violence. You had to talk to the people who were carrying out
the violence.
The
SDLP was that they weren't killing people. If they'd been killing people, you'd been happy to talk to them. I mean, you know, this is where we end up.
There are two ways of looking at this, Ken, aren't there? Either the likes of yourself and Corbyn played a role in helping build the peace process by bringing Sinn Féin in from the cold, helping them pursue their political path, or some people would say you boosted the IRA by supporting their goal. Troops out, Northern Ireland kicked out of the UK.
No, but the simple fact is...
And that was your position, wasn't it? Kick Northern Ireland out of the UK.
I mean, well, what I wanted was an end to the violence. I think it was ridiculous that Ireland was split, but that's, you know, goes back a century, that sort of problem. But we were living with the consequences of that, the discrimination against the Catholics in the north. And you've got to talk to the people who are doing the violence. I mean, I got on very well with Jerry Fitt, but there's no way he could end the violence. You had to talk to the people that were doing that. I never heard Jeremy Corbyn encourage the IRA to go out and do more killing. All we ever talked about to Jerry Adams was how to get a peace process underway.
Do you share the view of McDonnell, our new shadow chancellor, that the IRA should be honoured?
I don't think anyone who's conducted any violent act should be honoured.
So you were wrong to support the IRA's goal at the time, were you?
I wasn't supporting the IRA's goal. I've never supported violence in my life, not even on a demonstration, let alone with guns and bombs. My job, when I was leader of the GLC, we were getting usually about two terrible bombings in London every year, was to try and find a way to bring that to an end. I was seeing London as killed, blown to bits. I wanted that to stop.
It's fair enough, Alex, isn't it?
Well, sure, but there is, it's a, how, you know, everybody wanted it to stop and so on, but, you know, on whose terms? That's the thing. You know, Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell and others and so on essentially supported the IRA's terms on that. They shared the Republican movement's analysis of the problem. You know, that's why, you know, they wanted peace, certainly, but they wanted it on Sinn Féin and the IRA's terms. You know, British troops out, and to hell with the fact that the majority of people in Northern Ireland want to remain part of the United Kingdom. That didn't matter to them. You know, that wasn't something worthy of respect. You know, the peace they wanted was a peace, as I say, on the Republican movement's terms. You know, that sounds to me like sharing the Republican movement's aims, goals, ambitions, and ultimately, therefore, supporting them.
But the simple fact is that we're going to have years of this now, of everything being dragged up and thrown against Jeremy Corbyn. I was there. All I ever heard Jeremy Corbyn saying to Sinn Féin leaders was, how can we get a peace settlement? He was never encouraging them to continue. And all this smearing is going to go on. But the simple fact of the matter is, if people had done what Jeremy Corbyn and I were saying and begun negotiating with the IRA, we'd have saved 1,000 lives.
So do you support, Ken Livingston, do you support the consent principle now, Ken, that it's what the majority of people in Northern Ireland want? That should dictate the status of Northern Ireland and no one else?
I mean, basically, the people of Northern Ireland have got to sort out their own issues in their own way, preferably without violence. They can't be imposed from outside. I mean, the simple fact is, when you're in the EU, as both Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland are, I mean, the economic barriers are all down. It's not like, you know, 100 years ago when nations were very self-contained and all of that. People travel across borders. We all watch the same TV programme.
Sure, but you didn't support the consent principle. Can I just be clear? Hold on, Alex.
I still can't say yes to what was a really simple question.
So I want to ask the question again. You didn't support the consent principle in the 80s, Ken. Do you support it now?
Hang on. I never heard anyone talk about the consent principle. You had a completely obdurate Ulster Unionist bloc and Mrs. Satter refusing to negotiate, and people like myself were urging there should be negotiations.
The question is, do you support the consent principle now?
Of course, I just said that. And people in Northern Ireland have got to sort out their own future. Well, hang on. People in Northern Ireland have got to set out their own future and sort it out amongst themselves. That seems to me exactly consent.
Alex?
It's a, you know, a really, really roundabout way of getting to the answer of a really simple question. You know, do you support the consent principle? Yes or no? And you have all this humming and hawing and prevaricating going around the houses and so on, when a simple yes would suffice. And I think it's still extremely telling that the hard left of the British Labour Party can't actually bring itself to answer that question with a simple yes.
Well, no, it's a simple answer. You need the consent of the Catholic minority and the Protestant majority. You can't simply say, well, because this sort of got a large of proportion of the population, they can do whatever they want. There has to be consent between both sides.
Right, so you're actually watering down your acceptance of the consent principle then?
I want to see the two communities in Northern Ireland working together. I'm rather worried that, I mean, the Ulster Unionists seem to have taken an attempt to try and break all this up with the recent killing. That worries me quite considerably because it could start to roll the whole process back.
Here's Liam in Driverstown. Morning, Liam.
The British government manufactured an Orange State and the Armlet, the RUC and the B Specials, and they allowed that state to do whatever they liked for decades. Discrimination signed up to say Catholics need not apply, and when the Nationalist Republican population couldn't stick it anymore.
The majority rule was over in 72, Liam. Hello? The IRA's violence went on for two decades after that.
Hello, Stephen.
Yes, Liam.
Then when they couldn't stick it anymore, they went onto the streets, John Hume, the civil rights marchers, and all shades of opinion.
Okay.
And all they wanted was peaceful change.
Liam,
they
thank you.
They wanted the system to change. But the unionists were the first to use political violence and murder in support of their Orange dictatorship.
Liam, thank you. Ken Livingston, just before you go this morning, can I ask you this? What do you make of the current situation in Northern Ireland where we have our Chief Constable saying the IRA still exists and Sinn Féin saying the IRA's flown away like a butterfly, is what the Northern Chairman of Sinn Féin said. Who do you believe?
Well, in all my dealings with Gerry Adams, never once lied to me. So he's telling me the IRA, I mean, as a military organisation, doesn't exist, I believe it.
And you believe him when he says he was never in the IRA?
I have no way of knowing. I never asked him that.
Okay, Ken, thank you. Alex, thank you. Nice to talk to you both this morning.